what would you say you do here?
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes,
we are ready. Well, we're not ready, but it's here. Monday's here. And the gray area, Monday morning's 8 o'clock hour. We talk about, well, whatever is on the menu. I now call it the gray area menu. It changes every week. There's no prices, so you know it's really fancy. When you go to a restaurant and you see a menu and there's no prices, you better be ready to pay. You know, you'll pay today because we're going to talk football. We're going to talk a couple of the things here, too, just a second. Mr. Greg Gunderson, top of the morning to you, Mr. Gunderson. Yes.
I'm a value menu kind of guy, though, I got to say.
Value menu?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. $1.99 is most of the time.
I'm always looking for that. Whenever I pull up to the drive-thru, I'm looking for the sign. Something like, you know, today only a $5 combo or something. That's me right away looking for the bargain.
Well, nowadays that means downloading the app, though, so there's a whole extra step to saving money, and it feels like breaking even.
It is. There is money to be saved on the app, so there's some really good apps. I've talked about that on the morning show before. Locally, the Quick Trip app is really good. Really good. So before we delve into football, all right, before we do that, because that's going to be a deep dive here, I want to talk about my drive-through experience yesterday. I've been on this planet 59 years, and I had maybe one of the most unique drive-through experiences I've ever had yesterday. And it wasn't bad. It wasn't anybody's fault, but it was just awkward. We were at I spent some time with family over the weekend, and I was at my mom's in Menominee, and we got back to Menominee about 7 o'clock last night. So my mom offered to buy me supper. So we swung through Taco John's and get it to go. So I got to get home. Got to get home late at last night, like after 10 o'clock. So we go through the Taco John's drive-thru. All right. We sit there and we wait, you know, probably not a long amount of time, 4 or 5 minutes to wait for somebody to come on and take our order. So we place the order and we pull around and we wait. It didn't seem like to me to be a long time, but the guy opens the window up. And he says, "I apologize for the long wait." He says, "We're just gonna comp your meal. We're just gonna let you have it for free." This is $24 worth of Taco John's food. And I looked at my mom. My mom looked at me. I'm just like, I said, "Well, I guess. How can you turn that down?" So he.
I just burned myself with a butt of eggs.
Oh no! Greg Gunderson was just delivered eggs. From Rachel, and he took a bite, and it was hotter than he had anticipated. Speaking of drive-thrus and hot food, Gray, ladies and gentlemen, Gray Gunderson has left the building. So there may or may not be NFL draft talk coming up here very shortly. So anyway, we're going... You all right? So anyway... We go through the drive-thru, and we pull up, and the guy said, inside the window, opens up, the nice guy, he says, "I'm really sorry for the wait. We're just going to comp your meal." And we're like, I guess if you want to, I'm not going to argue with you. So he proceeds, like 30 seconds later, hands us the bags of food, and I said, "Thank you. That was not necessary, but very nice." And then at that moment, I realized that my mom and I had both ordered the combo meals. And we were supposed to get drinks with it, and we didn't.
Oh, no.
So he handed me the two comp meals. I'm feeling very grateful. And at that moment, I realize, I say to myself, in my brain, I'm like, just leave it alone. It's free. And out of my mouth came, we were supposed to get two drinks with that, too.
Oh, no.
And so I didn't even want to see the guy's expression on his face, because I'm sure he was probably like, yeah, you did, but yeah, you didn't. And so, and I'm in my mind, I'm thinking of the long 2.5 hour drive I have home, and I kind of wanted to have a Pepsi or something to drink on the way. And so my wife later on pointed out to me, she said, the better thing to do would have been for you to say to the gentleman at the counter that, you know, I was supposed to get 2 drinks with this, but I'd be willing to pay for them. And at that point, the gentleman behind the counter would have said, of course, no, we comp the meal. We're not going to give it to you. So instead, I just rolled through it and was feeling like Mr. Greedy Pants here. Just like, well, thanks for the comp meal, but I didn't get everything that you comped me. All right.
That's a test. That is a test. That's like if you took the shopping cart, the question of the shopping cart, do I put it back, which is super easy. There's nothing complicated. Yes, you put the shopping cart back unless we're not going to talk about that. But like you were given the upgraded college master's level version. It's like, okay, there's not an obvious choice here. Like you've actually got to think about this one. Somebody's being nice to you, but they are nicely failing.
He comped me and I just... I felt like it was a greedy comp. I drove away and I thought I should have just swung over to Quick Trip across the street and grabbed a can of Pepsi and just been happy about life. But no, I went after it. I went after the whole thing. I got it.
I'm so sorry about that. I just experienced something I've never experienced.
So
in my life.
Rachel brought you some eggs that were a little hotter than you expected. Is that what happened?
Well, and they were just hot enough that like I thought, okay, I can't hold these in my mouth. And I did the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life when something was just slightly too hot to chew and I swallowed it.
They figured it would go down the vacuum and cool.
You know, I thought, you know, maybe we'd end up in the stomach acid and temperature neutral by the time things were okay. But no, that was scrambled eggs, and they held on the way. And that, like...
You're still holding.
I've never experienced that. That like, burning right there, I hope that's not what people experience with terrible acid reflux. Because I actually, like, was down on all fours outside the studio door. Like, I said, Rachel, water, help. Oh, my gosh. And the moment I got one drink of water... Instant total relief. I feel fine right now, but good. I was sweating like immediately.
All right. So let's delve into the NFL draft, because quite a weekend in Green Bay. I heard a number that there were 600,000 people.
Total attendees, yep.
Total attendees. I think they can do that through like the pay turnstile that goes in to the actual event itself. Just an incredible number of people. Not a surprise to me at all that, number one, that people from all over the Midwest, Wisconsin would want to go to this, but also people from other parts of the country looked at the temperatures and they're like, you know what? Lambeau Field, Titletown, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Let's go. And there were a lot of fans from outside the area. So what a just a great atmosphere the entire weekend. And it ended up being a pretty decent weekend, I think, for the Packers and the draft pick. So let's get the Greg Gunderson delve into the Packer draft this past weekend.
I'm a Packers homer for life, so I'm always going to be super excited. There were a couple things that the Packers did that were seen as, well, one in particular, their second round pick, some people thought was kind of interesting. But it's pretty clear the Packers went all out on offense this season. They don't want to see offensive failures be the reason that we fall out of the playoffs again, like the last year or last couple times we showed up in the playoffs.
And they don't want to hear the wide receiver thing again.
No, clearly not.
They're done with that banter, right?
2 wide receivers in the first 3 picks, and the slower one runs a 4.5 40, which I know is not necessarily fast for receivers, but it's plenty fast enough for a guy like Savion Williams, who gets compared pretty often to Debo Samuel. He's 6'4", 222, so he's fast enough for his size, that's for sure.
So you got the Matthew Golden, who's fast, appears to have pretty good hands, appears to be a quality receiver. Then you got the big guy. You get down into the red zone. You got that big receiver to throw that ball up to. So you got a mix of both. Now, keep in mind, they're both going to be rookies. Game one, they're not going to go out and probably, you know, do the Randy Moss thing and rip up the league right away. But I think they've set the base here with a young Jordan Love and a couple of young receivers to get that passing game in line.
Agreed. We'll see Matthew Golden and Savion Williams see significant time. I expect Golden to start and Williams might. I haven't heard one way or the other what the team expects, but just from what you see looking at his his college history. I expect they'll want to make some use of the body of Savion Williams. He's kind of a direct replacement size and speed-wise for Christian Watson. He's a little slower than Christian, but only just, and I'm not sure it'll matter once it translates to the field. And Golden is the true speed. These guys, two clearly designed, plus the offseason acquisition of Mecole Hardman. This is field stretching. This is deep ball. This is speed. This is jet sweeps. This is a little of everything we already see, just, I think, done better. I don't think we're going to see anything majorly new on offense, but more of the same and done better than before is kind of the goal here. And between those two receivers and offensive tackle, like I said, some people see that as a bit of a reach, but we needed depth there at that position, and this corresponds to potential losses if we don't keep Sean Ryan, for example. If he doesn't get extended, this will make it more possible to replace him. Plus, we acquired Aaron Banks, guard. So that means Elgatron starts at center. There's a lot of sudden wide receiver talent at hand. Then after those three offensive picks, four consecutive defensive picks, including in the fourth and fifth round, two edge rushers. So the goal is clear. Replace players lost, replace players that are going to be lost, and score a lot of points.
Yeah, and the past couple of years, the Packer offense has lagged a little bit behind the Vikings and the Lions, and I think they see an opportunity here. I mean, Jared Goff, he isn't going to be there probably for what, another year or two at Detroit, I would say. He's not young, he's not old, but he probably a year or two of offensive production. And then you got the Vikings, who have they're a question mark. J.J. McCarthy's still a question mark. Yep. You can be optimistic as you want. It looks as though the Vikings will be good offensively, but he's a question mark. The Vikings are losing their number two receiver, probably this Addison guy. He may be gone. And the Bears, Caleb Williams hasn't proven himself. So the Packers, I think, went into this draft and thought, you know what? We'll just take our offense up a notch here. And we feel pretty confident that we're either going to be as good or maybe even be better than the other offenses in the league if Jordan Love pans to be what we think he can be. And now you've got the tools. You got the wide receivers to keep up point-wise.
It's not quite what the Jaguars are doing with Trevor Lawrence, but something similar in that they're loading up, and if Jordan Love can't get it done over the next two seasons, basically play out the new contract that he signed last offseason. If he can't get it done in this contract with the guys they've added these last couple years, maybe including who they might add next offseason, that'll be proof that Jordan Love isn't the guy. And I liken that to Jacksonville, because Jacksonville, they've got Brian Thomas Jr. as one quality receiver, last year's rookie, and now they've got Travis Hunter at both wide receiver and cornerback. So they've set Trevor Lawrence up to either succeed or prove that he can't. And I think the Jordan Love situation is probably looking similar.
Well, the experts don't like the Vikings. They don't like that they gave him a D+ in the draft. The Vikings, I think, did what they wanted to do. They got a little line help, which has always kind of been their issue for the last few years, especially. You know, they're pretty good at the skill position. It's hard to get real excited about draft gradings, but I just don't think that the NFL draft experts like that the Vikings were kind of all over the place. They were just kind of spotty here and there. And I think they're a little confused by what they were doing, maybe. I don't know.
The Vikings had a pretty clear strategy, I think. And I think it's that it's a little bit of confusion. If you're not looking at one particular thing, it might not make sense what the Vikings were doing. But if you look at the RAS, by the way, on that particular listing, I think they're actually the C. The experts gave them a C, not a D+ here. So
gotcha, doing
a whole lot better than you thought.
Okay, all right. I'll take a C.
But the RAS, relative athletic score, and I can't stress enough that relative athletic score is based only on the position you're talking about. So if you're talking about a linebacker with a relative athletic score of 10, that means he is the biggest, strongest, and fastest compared to other linebackers. So when you look at that relative athletic score, you'll see that some teams tend to focus on it as a draft strategy. Well, the way I like to explain it, you can't coach a guy to be 6'5", but you take a guy who is 6'5", you've got a chance to coach him up to be a good football player. And because of that, you'll see teams, sometimes the Packers do it, sometimes every team kind of dips a toe in the relative athletic score pool. The Colts, for example, their quarterback has an incredible relative athletic score. It just happens that he's a terrible NFL quarterback. So you've got to watch out, because it's you can't coach talent, but you can't guarantee the talent exists in those big guys. The Vikings drafted all high RAS, every single player. First of all, not all players even qualify. You might not be big enough, even though you're fast and strong. You might be too weak, even though you're big and fast. Like, you might not even be on the board. The Vikings, first of all five qualified. Not only that, their average RAS was 8.9, good for second in the league, a jump up from 25th last season.
Oh, there you go.
You don't do that by accident. They're very clearly, in my mind, what this is the Vikings saying, we've got the experienced guys, we've got the blueprint for success and a lot of wins. Now let's let the experienced players we still have show the young guys how to use their physical traits to do that.
Sure. The quarterbacks are now set and pretty much the backups with the Vikings picking up Sam Howell in a trade. He was a pretty highly touted quarterback out of college. Went to Washington during their whole terrible thing that was going on there a few years ago. So the Vikings bring in Sam Howell, which was probably a pretty good move. He's gonna be $1.3 million against the salary cap this year because he's still under a rookie contract. So he's going to be a one-year shot for the Vikings if J.J. McCarthy comes in and does well. Sam Howell will probably move on to another team next year with a bigger contract if he has a chance to show his skills. So the quarterbacks are all set. No big surprises. Aaron Rodgers outside looking in. If he's not a Steeler, he's probably retired or looking to do something else. So we're not going to get the Favre drama returning part due with Aaron Rodgers. That's pretty much over with the Vikings.
Aaron Rodgers' darkness retreat experience coming in 2025, I'm pretty sure. I don't think he'll be doing much quarterbacking unless somebody gets hurt in the first 3 weeks and they call him up.
Yep. The most bizarre thing about the whole draft was the fact that the son of the Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator, do I have that right?
Yep.
Did a fake call to Shedeur Sanders' camp, I guess, saying that he was drafted. When he wasn't drafted, he didn't go till later in the fifth round. But the fact that Shedeur Sanders fell to the fifth round, I don't think anybody saw that coming. I thought second or third was what people were talking. Some of the experts still had him going in the first round. He dropped all the way to the fifth round.
I'm not going to pretend that I thought he was going to drop farther than about the third. I was thinking maybe second round was more likely. I didn't think he was going to go first. Just because diving in as deep as I could, the talk was about teams having interest and the experts talking about these things. Yeah, well, the actual tape, the guys watching tape and scouting and former scouts who were weighing in were saying that he's not going to go that high. I mean, first of all, he went to the Browns, which is bad for him, but he was the second quarterback they took. But that I think this is a really good opportunity to check the words we use. He didn't fall out of the first. He was never going to go in the first.
No,
he didn't fall out of the second. He didn't fall out of the third. He got taken where he got taken.
Yeah.
And that's, he didn't fall out of anywhere because he was, you have to be actually expected to go there by somebody who's making these decisions. Yeah, sure, the draft and the bet line may have been wrong, but the NFL scouts knew weeks ago what they thought of him, and they thought fifth round.
For a guy who's going to bring the drama with that he's going to bring with his dad, Dion, it's just going to happen. And his personality and the fact that there was reports that he told some, at least one team that, you know, watching game film wasn't what he liked to do or he wasn't good at that. All the things that kind of leaked out about it. If there was one team you could have picked that would take that guy, the team that picked Johnny Manziel and the team that brought in Deshaun Watson, if there's one team that would make that move to a guy that, well, maybe, you know, he might be, well, we'll try it. It's the Cleveland Browns.
My
they're the
God,
ones,
that's Cleveland's
they're,
music.
They're the ones to do it. And you know what? He might turn out to be the next Michael Vick athletically on the field. We don't know. Tom Brady was a fifth-round pick, people, and he's the greatest quarterback to ever play the game.
Yep.
We can analyze all we want, but we could all be fools in a couple of years.
At the end of the day, and that's another opportunity, too. If that happens, it's another opportunity to watch hindsight. Because if that happens, if he has one good season, people will say, everybody was wrong. Every team should have taken him. He should have gone in the first. And you'll have pundits saying, I told you so. No, the acting on information we only have now is the definition of hindsight.
Yeah.
It still will have been the smarter move to wait until the fifth.
Yeah.
It just because it didn't shake out doesn't mean you made the unwise call. So maybe, yeah, absolutely. My sports motto is we'll see, and we will, but I don't think it'll be too pretty. The attitude that I saw in the clips while they were still waiting was, I think, a lot of the reason why there were those clips of him waiting. It showed up in the attitude of those very clips. It was kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy in that way. You want an example of why he fell? Look at the clips of him while he waited.
Yeah, He, and he'll be all right financially.
Yeah, he's fine.
It's just going to be just fine.
Anytime they talk about the gifts and the hard work, and they're talking about it with $25,000 in diamonds on their neck, it's like, I don't hate you for your success, but I do recognize that you speak from a certain position that I don't think you notice.
Yeah.
Like when he retired Shedeur's number. Actually, Shedeur Sanders is now the first college player ever whose number was retired and then who wasn't taken in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah.
First one ever. And Deion doesn't understand why people were upset that he retired the numbers. Like, dude.
Yeah.
Tone deaf.
Well, one thing is for certain, I think, going into this season, the NFC North is probably from top to bottom still going to be the best or one of the best divisions. I don't think you can expect to be what they were last year as far as dominant, although if the Bears are better, that might happen. A reminder, last year, the Packers were 1-5 in the division. 1-5, and they made the playoffs.
Why do I suddenly feel like you're firing weapons at me, Joel?
They made the playoffs. That tells you how good the division was and how dominant they were outside of the division. Mm-hmm. That doesn't slide back to below the equator just in one season. This is going to be a tough season. And I think if the Bears were in two or three other divisions in this football conference, they could probably win 10 or 11 games. But I think just because the Bears have to play the Vikings, Packers, and Lions each twice, I don't think the Bears are going to win 7 games again this year. I think they're going to be right at that point.
You know, not to play contrarian, not to do the whole Stephen A. Smith thing and just disagree because it's content, but actually I wonder if the NFC North is kind of poised for a huge regression. You guys lost a lot of talent.
It can't go up.
Right. No.
Other than winning the Super Bowl.
That's just it. So that, you're right. That is the question, is how much does the NFC North regress? Unless the Bears really upswing hard. There is so much room for what the Bears could do to make up for the Lions falling back. They are my big pick for, they might stink this year. And actually, the Vikings have room to do so as well, simply because we don't know what you've got at quarterback right now. But I believe in you. I believe in your defense especially, and your defense will hold it down if not. That said, both coordinators gone from Detroit, and we're about to learn what they contributed.
Yeah. I think there's two things that could take the Vikings down really fast, could take them down to a 5 or 6 win level. Number one is they had 33 takeaways last year. All right? Takeaways are something that you can create, but it's also sometimes it's a little bit of luck here and there too.
The wind's got to blow the right way.
Right. So the 33 takeaways. And number two is they invested a lot of money in their offensive line. They picked up some really high quality offensive linemen. If that doesn't pan out, if that offensive line isn't one of the best in all of football, then they're in trouble again, because they put a lot of time and money and effort into that offensive line. And if they don't protect J.J. McCarthy, the Vikings won't win 7 games this year. They won't happen.
No, and that's something that both Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell have been very, very vocal about, is that they are not currently aware what the offensive line composition will be. There will be an open competition. They brought in Ryan Kelly at center, like you mentioned. They brought in a guard in Will Freeze, and now they drafted in the first round Donovan Jackson out of Ohio State to match. That's 60% of your line replaced, and it's no secret. Kevin O'Connell mentioned that something had to be done specifically about the interior. Your offensive line. Sam Darnold was sacked 9 times in your postseason exit against the Rams.
Yeah.
9 times. You can't.
Heavily pressured.
You don't win NFL games with 9 sacks. You don't. There are some things that are like almost incontrovertibly true. Too many giveaways, too many sacks, too many drops, falling on your head. Like, there's some things that you just can't get around, and 9 sacks is one of them. So yeah that's a clear move. That, between that and that whole add big, strong, fast guys to learn from our veterans, Kevin O'Connell is setting a 5-year plan up. It's scary. He's either, this is a bad year followed by a bunch of good ones, or you guys coast on a bunch of victories for a while. I really believe in what's going on in Minnesota right now.
We're 2 months away from the rookies, young guys reporting that first week in July, and I think it's exciting if you like football, because I don't ever remember a season for this NFC North division where you have 3 teams, the Lions, Vikings, and Packers. If either one of those 3 teams ended up in the Super Bowl, would not be a surprise to nobody.
No, not
nobody.
At all.
You can't really say that too many years.
No.
That you got 3 teams in the division that have the talent and showed it last year to be Super Bowl teams.
I don't want to be that Packer fan, but there hasn't been like a realistic, consistent competition against Green Bay for a while now. And it just so happens that everybody else is trending upwards right as Aaron Rodgers leaves, and we still haven't quite made up for that yet. So it's just as we start to come off our cloud just a little bit, everybody else hires good coaching and starts drafting well, and all of a sudden, cool, we got maybe 20 bad years coming if things go really, really wrong here.
Yeah. I didn't see any video of Man Campbell over the weekend. Does he just spend the offseason like in some kind of a cave with a weight room facility?
That's exactly what I was
just
picturing.
Stalactites all over the ceiling. I imagine his offseason just being him just feeding off of things that crawl into the cave. That's just he does, right?
Think of a giant human-sized hamster cage with the wheel and everything, but all of the other weights that you need, plus a feeder bottle full of muscle milk.
That's Man Campbell.
Oh, yeah. He's going to bite your kneecap and feed on it in the offseason.
Raw kneecaps. More of the Gray Area. We do this Monday mornings from 8 to 9. We'll talk a couple other things besides football coming up. The news, twice an hour. Let's get to that right now.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House touting events this week to mark 100 days of President Trump's second term. But his approval rating sits at 39%, with about 70% of people in the ABC News Washington Post poll saying they believe a recession is at least somewhat likely. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told ABC.
The surveys may say that, but consumers are still spending. So I prefer to look at what Americans are doing rather than how they're answering pollsters.
Congress returns from recess today. Republicans say their goal is to pass a budget bill by the end of May. President Trump's comments about Canada have become a big issue in today's national election across Canada as Vancouver mourns the 11 people killed when a vehicle plowed through a Filipino cultural festival Saturday. One person died, 12 were hurt when a boat crashed into a ferry off Clearwater, Florida last night. And Spain and Portugal racked by power outages right now, millions in the dark. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain. Here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know.
Dedicated efforts to locate Melissa Beeson, missing since March 17th, have been ongoing since the report of her disappearance. The Lac du Flambeau Tribal Police Department has searched relentlessly in the area in which Melissa was last seen, as well as other areas of interest. Officers and assisting agencies have conducted grid searches on foot, have deployed high-tech drones and airplanes, and have searched using specially trained canines. Many of these search areas are characterized by extremely treacherous terrain. Because of the challenges and danger involved in searching on foot, the LDFPD has not requested assistance from volunteers, so officers continue to come in on their days off to comb the search areas. To date, over 1,300 acres have been carefully searched. They have also been assisted by other law enforcement agencies, including the Wausau Police Department. It has been suggested that Melissa is hiding out somewhere, afraid to come back to Lac du Flambeau. In case that is true, the LDFPD has a message for Melissa, and they ask that it be shared with her by anyone having knowledge of her whereabouts. Quote, Melissa, please know that you are not in trouble. We are not going to arrest you or take you to jail. All anyone wants is for you to come home. Your family is frantic and the entire community is worried about you. There will be relief and much happiness upon your return. We all know that it was not your intent to cause such concern and worry. It exists because you're cared about and your absence is felt by everyone. Please contact your family or our department. If you need transportation, it will be provided. If you need money to assist you in coming home, that too will be provided. Just please reach out and let your community know that you are safe. End quote. When last seen in the vicinity of Indian Village Road and Shawamigan Forest Trail in Lac du Flambeau, Melissa was wearing red sweatpants, a black sleeveless shirt, and a gray sweatshirt. Melissa Beeson is a Native American female, 5'7", with a medium build, brown hair, and brown eyes. She has numerous tattoos, including on her neck, arms, and legs. Anyone having any information about Melissa or her possible whereabouts is asked to please call the Lac du Flambeau Tribal PD at 715-588-7717 or Vilas County Sheriff's Office at 715-479-4441. Saturday, May 3rd at 4:30, the Wisconsin Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation is hosting their Flambeau Chapter Banquet. After a couple of years off, the Flambeau Chapter is back at it, raising money for the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation conservation. They invite you to come and join the fun at their annual banquet. You can register online through their Facebook page, Wisconsin Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. Once again, this is taking place Saturday, May 3rd at 4:30 over at Northwoods Supper Club in Fifield. Wisconsin makes an impression for entrepreneurs starting up new businesses. Lisa Hale has details.
Three Wisconsin cities make the top 150 most supportive communities for startup businesses. MarketBeat.com surveyed over 3,000 participants. Access to incubators like Green Bay's Urban Hub and regional supports, in addition to tax breaks and mentorship opportunities, all played into the rankings. Madison ranked highest of the Wisconsin cities at 60, Green Bay comes in at 74th, and Milwaukee makes the list at 102.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
Another injury for Damian Lillard. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Damian Lillard going in for an MRI today. The Associated Press reporting there's concern he suffered a torn Achilles tendon in the Bucks' 129-103 loss to the Pacers last night in Milwaukee. Head coach Doc Rivers.
They're going to do an image. Obviously, his lower leg. And just being honest, it's not very promising.
Game 5 tomorrow night in Indy. The Pacers now lead 3-1. Baseball, the Brewers have the night off after beating the Cards in St. Louis 7-1 yesterday. NFL, the Packers picked up 8 players during the draft in Green Bay over the weekend. I asked GM Brian Gutekunst if he thought about trading for some more.
I would have loved to acquire more picks, whether that was this year or next year, and we really didn't accomplish that. But it was really pretty quiet today as far as that went. We had 8 picks. Feel really good about those guys. And then some of the guys that we're signing right now, I feel pretty good about, too.
That's the Packers' Brian Gutekunst with Sports on Mike Clemens.
We want your business to thrive in the Northwoods. Hi, I'm Courtney from the Park Falls Chamber of Commerce. Are you looking for more customers? Maybe you'd like to hit the ground running or to find a community of other business owners to rally around. We at the Park Falls Chamber of Commerce are here to bring your business success. Joining the chamber is one of the best moves any business can make. Find out how we can help you by calling us today at 715-762-2703 or visit our website at parkfalls.com.
With hectic summer days on the horizon, it's time to give your engine some much-needed spring car care. For a limited time at your local Carquest Auto Parts store in Park Falls, when you buy one bottle of Chevron Techron fuel injector or cleaner, you'll get a second bottle for free. With powerful detergents that break up and clear away stubborn carbon deposits to maximize your fuel economy and restore engine power. Now is the time to stop by your CarQuest store in Park Falls to load up on Chevron Techron Fuel Injector Cleaner. Stop by your CarQuest Auto Parts store, locally owned and community driven. CarQuest, 4th Avenue South, Highway 13, Park Falls.
Logger United Booster Club is proudly supported by Ross's Sports Shop and Guide Service in Phillips. They carry everything you need from licenses and the area's best selection of live bait.
It is going to be a warm day today with scattered thunderstorms likely, and some of those storms could be severe with the potential for large hail, damaging straight-line wind, and even tornadoes, especially late this afternoon through much of this evening. Stay weather aware today. Be prepared. We will have the very latest as things develop. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
All right, more of the gray area here. We went pretty long in that first segment here, so we'll jump in right away here, Gray. We want to wish some anniversary wishes to Terry and Diane. The Millers are celebrating an anniversary today. Congratulations to both of you. We wish Barb Beck, I think we did it later, last week, but she celebrated last Thursday. Longtime listener of the morning show, so Barb, happy birthday from your family. Belated. All right, so is that enough? You got everything up? More to come this afternoon at 4 on the draft?
Yeah, yes, right, absolutely.
With Gray Gunderson. Wanted to talk a little bit about something. I traveled a lot this past weekend. When I do that, I listen to podcasts and all kinds of stuff. And I just heard a very interesting discussion about the food giveaway in NBA games in the fourth quarter. Pretty much every NBA stadium. In the fourth quarter, if the opposing player misses 2 free throws consecutively at the line, everybody in the crowd can take their ticket stub to the participating sponsor's business and get free chicken, free pizza. There's free food involved with that. It's kind of an NBA-wide promotion. Chick-fil-A is a big one at a lot of the restaurants if you go to Timberwolves game. So there was a discussion about the fact that Giannis Antetokounmpo is notoriously a chicken fan. Chick-fil-A. In fact, after he won the championship, he went to a drive-thru that night and ordered 50 chicken strips from, I think it was Chick-fil-A. So he's associated with the fact, and he has made no bones about the fact that he loves chicken. Loves chicken. So the stat came out on this podcast I was listening to that Giannis Antetokounmpo, 10 times in his career, has been on a road game, missed the front end of the free throw, and 8 out of the 10 times that happened at a place where they had free chicken, he missed the second one too. So he shot 20% from the line. He's normally about a 65% free throw shooter, 60-65. So he shot 20%, and when there was free chicken available to give to, and Giannis, a good guy. I mean, he's made it clear. I'd love everybody to have chicken. So at other facilities, there's been 8 other times where the facility has had the same promotion, but it hasn't been chicken. It's been pizza. It's been a beef sandwich or something like that. And 8 times he's been at the line where he's missed the first free throw, but he shot his normal percentage, 5 of 8, on those times where there wasn't chicken. So the investigation and the theory is that Giannis Antetokounmpo is feeling empathy toward the 20,000 people that are in the stadium, and he wants them all to have free chicken. So he intentionally misses that second free throw to give other teams free chicken.
This is a kind of human conspiracy that I can get behind. This is, I'm willing to entertain this. I'm willing to put up the cork board and grab the yarn and the push pins. I will break this open with you if you will start.
They interviewed his brother about it too, and he was just laughing so hard. It was just so fun, so much fun to listen to. And to add to this theory a little bit, one time Giannis Antetokounmpo on a road game, one of his teammates missed 2 free throws for free chicken, and Giannis Antetokounmpo had his cell phone on the bench with him while it was late in the game and he was on the bench not playing. He took his phone and shot the QR code that they put on the screen. So that's how you redeem it. You take the QR code because you're the only person at the stadium. And he said he did that because he wanted his free chicken.
You don't get rich off the money you earn. You get rich off the money you save.
Yeah.
As Warren Buffett says.
When you delve deep into it, it's a ridiculous conspiracy theory. But when you look at the numbers, you're like, 20%? Yeah. 80% of the time you gave him free chicken, but when it was pizza, it wasn't that much. I love those deep numbers. They're wonderful.
Next gen stats is I don't think humanity is entirely ready for it.
No, I don't think so either.
That's what AI is there for, by the way. Let's upload every fact about everything that happened in every game and catch those patterns.
Yes.
Those are the things that AI is meant for. Don't waste human time on that.
So what else do you want to do? We have the menu is full of random items here. Is there anything in here that tickles your fancy, Mr. Greg Gunderson, that you'd like to talk about?
Well, we've covered the Giannis chicken info. We didn't talk about the invention of the radio. Let's save that one for a later time.
Okay.
Okay, I'm very curious. So line 18 there, we've got, it's kind of a two-part thing. It's listed as Milli Vanilli and then the depths of lying. Now, are you want to analyze the human consciousness here and how far lies can go? Or,
well, I just stumbled upon it. I went home, I think it was last week, I went home, my wife was just watching a random documentary about Milli Vanilli,
and they were lip syncers, weren't they? They were total fakers.
Yeah.
You're right, those are linked. I couldn't even connect those two dots. Now I'm remembering. Yeah, Milli Vanilli was
Blame It on the Rain, and there was just 2 songs that were huge, huge hits internationally. But yeah, they lip sync because they were actually not bad at singing, but they had a couple of people that they thought weren't as aesthetically pleasing or couldn't dance. Milli Vanilli, very entertaining on stage, very good dance, very good dancers, but they it was all lip synced. It was never them at all. And then finally it was revealed because there was some kind of a technical malfunction apparently at a concert or something, where it was revealed that they were in fact lip syncing. They they kind of pushed it to the back for a while, and then finally they just came out and they just said, we can't take this anymore. You know, we lip synced, and one of them ended up dying very young. One of the duo died very young just from the stress and the, I mean, it, there was a public outlash. There was a public outlash against these two gentlemen. But the music was really good. But it was the depths of lying. I mean, they felt they were multi-millionaires many, mm-hmm. many times over. And they thought that if they just told the truth, that maybe people would move on and they would still be able to be performers. They tried to perform after that, but people weren't falling for it because they were lied to from up front. And people just, they were just like, no, we're not okay with that. We're not okay with what you did.
There's, I'm very curious. I wasn't socially aware when Milli Vanilli was relevant. Let's just phrase it that way to keep numbers ambiguous.
Uh-huh.
But I tend to wonder. I think of Justin Bieber. You know, I mean, like, and Justin wasn't a notorious lip syncer. He didn't have some major controversy aside from the six mini controversies that he generated every year. But like, he got a lot of hate that I think partially occurred because people enjoyed piling it on.
Yeah,
and I'm afraid that is a group tendency sometimes. There's kind of that momentum of dislike that occurs, and there's some validation that comes when you join the dislikers.
Yeah, this might be a song you play in Tromix. I think there is a Milli Vanilli song.
I think I've seen Milli Vanilli pop up over there.
Girl, know it's true.
I'm pretty sure.
You listen to the two songs, and if you can just accept the quality of the song, they're funky, they're good songs. I mean, they're pretty cool songs, but... Yeah, the depths of lying. And then I was watching an old American Bandstand. I don't know why. My wife just puts random things on, and I just tune in and tune out. But they were playing. Dick Clark was interviewing Buckner and Garcia, the two guys who did the song Pac-Man Fever.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever heard that song from back in the 70s.
Not sure I have.
It's back when Pac-Man was... obviously was just becoming popular, and they were doing a live performance on stage of Pac-Man Fever and Poor Effect. Here's a song right here. It's just a cheesy 70s Pac-Man Fever song, but they were performing it apparently live on Dick Clark. Everybody back in those days of Dick Clark and stuff, you pretty much assumed that every act that went out there was just lip syncing. They weren't doing it right. But then it always got me as how bad they were at doing this, because the people would be on stage singing and lip syncing the song, and then instead of like having a definitive ending to try to even put up an act that we're not lip syncing, they would just fade out the song. You know, the guy would still be there singing all full handling, you know, Pac-Man Fever, and all of a sudden the volume would just fade as the guy is still fully singing and lip syncing, the song would just fade out. It's just like, how is that even close to what you're trying to achieve here? I don't.
Well, I'm very curious again. Wasn't socially aware at the time this was relevant, but I'm super curious what the feeling involved was. Like, would I have been fooling myself? You know, I might have picked up the slack there. Would I have told myself, oh, he's still performing, they just turned down the music for the TV camera, you know, like there's still loud music happening in the studio. Mm-hmm. I'm curious what assumptions I would make if I saw that happen live, because it just sounds like bad TV when you explain it that way.
TV. Just watch this. Just go to YouTube and live performances on Dick Clark's American Bandstand, and it happens on probably half the acts. They just fade them out. Just fade them out at the end. Music was so bad back then, but we were just, I mean, some of the music was good, but the live performance part of it was still something that was being finely tuned, I guess.
I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of things were theater shows adapted for camera, and it showed in some places more than others.
Yeah.
Your traditional TV show didn't feel like a play, but that was absolutely the birth of that kind of thing. And okay, what's the other side of that? The creepy dude sitting there with a puppet surrounded by a half circle of kids. That's your, mm-hmm. it's howdy doody time.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a reason some of these flavors still exist. Some of them are long gone relics of the past.
And there's reason why, like back in the 70s and 80s, why some acts lived on and you hear on Tromix and you still hear, and some just went away because the groups like the Bostons and the Aerosmiths and the Eagles, they were real. Yep. I mean, they were real. They weren't lip syncing. So the ones that were just creating the studio tape and then cashing in on it because of radio airplay, those are the ones that had one and two hit wonders, and why you don't know who Pac Buckner and Garcia are, the Pac-Man. So, I mean, I guess the truth again, the truth lives, right?
Is that why Pet Rock's not coming back around? They didn't buy enough airtime back then?
Are you guaranteeing me that the Pet Rock's not coming back?
No. I don't believe in making guarantees about the future, but I know where I'd put my money on the return of Pet Rock, and it's not on soon.
Are you sure it's not here already and you don't even know it? It's disguised as something else?
Do you know something I don't? Did you buy yourself a Pet Rock today? Are you about to pull a Pet Rock out of the drawer
Are you paying attention to the political scene? We've got...
Pet Rock 2028.
I promised I would do this today because I won something. Well, okay, I bought something, but sometimes you got to buy championships, right? My wife and I love to go on the Heckman auction site and go and just see what's for sale at estate sales. And this one was a close one in Fifield, and this was the only thing that I bought. And I'll put the picture of me on Facebook of Scott Heckman taking the picture of me riding away with this, holding it out my window. But ladies and gentlemen, I would like to present to you the morning show guy. Is your, read it out loud, Gray,
Wood Tick Race Championship of 2015.
That's right.
Now, okay, what went there? What? Okay, so the plaque has on it two things. One is a hook that could hold anything. And the other one looks like something designed to hold perhaps a broom or the handle of an instrument. What? The what for the tick? The bottle. Oh, it held the bottle in which the tick was stored.
The championship dead tick, I think, would go in there.
Wow, maybe a okay.
Bottle. I'm not sure what goes on the hook. I'm not sure about that.
Rachel has all the answers. What goes on the hook?
Maybe the...
No idea.
Maybe the hammer that killed the tick? I'm
maybe,
not sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's there's only one of those, Joel. I mean, that's one of one.
2015, it was at Tailgaters. This isn't the Oxbow one that they've been doing a lot of years. This was a Tailgaters one. But I saw this one on there, and for $2, I thought, I can't go wrong on this.
No.
And I went to the auction, and I told Scott Heckman, I said, I apologize, Scott. You're only going to get $2.30 out of me or whatever. But I had to have the Wood Tick Championship plaque forever mine.
That cost you less than a McDonald's ice cream cone is going to cost you by the end of this summer.
I will tuck this away in a box, and a generation down the line, Grandpa Karnick, who used to live in Park Falls, will be designated. Look, he won Wood Tick races, and I never have been to there.
You know, I saw that thing that held the bottle, and I thought it would hold a golf club, and that's what was the basis of all my guesses when it was sitting face down on the desk. I was thinking, what golf trophy did Joel buy because he can't get a golf trophy of his own?
Who would buy golf championships? Come on.
Oh, I had six digs ready for you that I was just going to lob at you slowly
throughout the day. The wood tick, and you got nothing, do you?
Oh, man, nothing at all. That was a wild card I did not expect. I thought, yeah, easy out on the golf jokes.
I will post a photo on the 98Q Facebook page in just a couple minutes here of me holding that plaque out the window as Scott Heckman demanded that I slow down and he take a picture of me as I drive away with that plaque.
I'm split into two minds suddenly. Part of me is like, so what happened to the bottle with the tick in it? And that question in my mind was answered by conflicting hopes. First of all, I hope somebody kept it out there. Second of all, no, I don't. I hope somebody threw that little glass bottle with a tick away. Like, there's nothing else going. It's a little bottle with a tick.
Yeah.
Like, part of me that wants the trophy to be complete believes it should still be out there. The rest thinks that belongs in a landfill.
It doesn't appear to be a traveling trophy. It doesn't have any name plaques on it, so I'm claiming it as my own.
It appears to have traveled, though. It's a little worse for the wear. This has stories that we'll never know.
So when the trivia question comes up at your local tavern of who's the 2015 Tailgaters Wood Tick Champion, I have evidence to prove that it may or may not be me. Joel Karnick, the morning show guy.
You're the one with the deed to the house, but do you own it?
All right. We're out. Gray, thank you so much. Always fun to chat. We'll do Gray Area every Monday morning from 8 to 9.
For better or worse.
Yes, Gray will be back in this afternoon, 2 to 7. More NFL draft talk in the 4 o'clock hour.